Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of pro wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A very interesting topic this week, folks, because Mick Foley, during an interview, had a lot to say about the WWE, and basically the gist of it was that, in his opinion, the WWE is no longer the company that wrestlers aspire to be a part of. And his rationale is that AEW has taken that spot over and that more of the younger up-and-coming talent aspire to be an AEW member rather than a WWE member. And this has left, of course, Mick Foley not in good standing with the WWE, who are obviously pretty upset about his comments. And we're going to dig into them a little bit, and we're going to give you our own thoughts. First, let's say this. If you're an aspiring wrestler, let's say you're just an indie, you're an indie guy, and you're aspiring to be in one of the major federations. If Mick Foley's claim is that you would rather be in AEW than WWE, I think that's probably true. However, if his claim is you wouldn't jump instantly to WWE if AEW didn't ask for you or want you, that's absurd. Every indie wrestler I know, if they got called up by Ring of Honor, if they got called up by Impact, if they got called up by WWE or AEW, they'd jump. Because much like musical artists who may say, well, I aspire to be on a major label. Yeah, but if a less major label wants to sign you to begin with, that's your foot in the door. You're going to go. Now, Mick Foley said, I don't know if I'd trust creative with my career. Well, the thing is, Mick, if you already have a career, I wouldn't trust them with it. I agree with that. If you don't have a career, then what's the trust? If you're an indie wrestler whose name is Jack Brown and your gimmick is I'm Jack Brown, and the WWE wants to sign you and make you something else, you don't really have a career. I want Mick Foley to remember one thing, and I'm going to take Mick Foley to task here, and then I'm going to tell you why I think he's right, too. First off, Mick, without the WWE, was AEW going after Tommy End? Was AEW searching the globe for Tommy End, or did they want Malakai Black? Well, I got news for you. Who do you think created Malakai Black? Yes, I know Aleister Black had a hand in doing it too, but the WWE was the one who brought that to the forefront. That's WWE's boy. They created him. Likewise, some of these other people who are using basically the same gimmicks. So it's not like AEW exactly said the creative has blown it and we're going to fix it. Far from it, they've just said, well, it was a good creative idea, but he wasn't booked well. So I don't know if it's the creative that's screwing up so much as it's the booking. If they were to take Karrion Kross tomorrow, they're still going to promote him as that same type of character. So that's not the creative. It's the booking. Now let's talk about Karrion Kross, because he mentioned Karrion Kross. This is where Mick Foley is correct. The WWE has a big problem, but I don't think Foley nailed exactly what the problem is. Foley thinks it's creative. I don't think it's creative. If they use Bray Wyatt, they're going to use him as some kind of weird, cultish, whatever. That was creative. So it's not creative that's the problem. It's how they book them once they create them. Now, I use Karrion Kross as an example, and it's a good example, and I'll tell you why it's a good example. There was absolutely no reason to call up the then NXT champion before what we obviously knew was going to be a long-term lead-up to him fighting Samoa Joe in NXT and have him drop his first match to Jeff Hardy. There was no reason. And when the WWE was called on it, we were told, silly fans, there's a big story to be told here. Sit back and wait. You know nothing. It'll all become clear soon why Karrion Kross had to lose his debut match to get him skyrocketed to the top. I'm still waiting. The fact is you lied. There was no plan. You did that and you did it on purpose because you wanted to send a message to NXT that you guys are not above us. You didn't win the ratings war. And we can screw with you, including your top guy. In the meantime, you ruined his feud with Samoa Joe. You ruined him. I don't care what you got to say. And where Mick Foley is right about creative is, whoever came up with that costume needs to go. They need to go. Because if you can't look at that coming down that rampway and say, this is not adequate, this is no good, you don't belong costuming a wrestling show. Period. So is Mick Foley right about the fact that some of these indie guys would rather be, if they had their dithers, would rather go to AEW? Probably, in the sense that I think they think the style of wrestling that they're doing would be more appreciated in AEW. And that they would get a fairer shot in AEW. Having said that, AEW has their own problem, don't they? And their problem is this. They've got too many people now, and they're looking at adding and adding and adding and adding. And the main event picture, even the lower main events, even the upper mid-card is getting crowded. And now we are already seeing take place what I predicted would take place. And that is some of the wrestlers are starting to show their frustration. Brian Cage's wife went on, I think it was Instagram, to say, my husband's not being used. He's not being used correctly. He's one of the bigger talents in the business. He's got this. He's got that. He could do the following things. And now he's going to be a forgotten person. Might be right. Might be right. And this is exactly what I said was going to happen. It's all well and good that you've signed CM Punk, who's in his late mid-40s. It's all well and good you've signed Bryan Danielson, who's in his mid-40s. It's all well and good that you've signed Malachi Black, and you're probably going to sign Kevin Owens. We'll get into that in a minute. And that could lead to signing Sami Zayn a little later on, maybe 6 months from now. That's all well and good. But once again, every time a big name comes in there and takes away 10 minutes of TV time, that's 10 minutes someone else is not getting. And some of these wrestlers who are just barely getting that time now, they're not going to get any. Or if they do, it's going to be a jumble where you say, when's the last time I saw him? What are they doing with him? I forgot because it's been 3 weeks. There's no way you can get everyone in the show. There's no way. So AEW has that problem. Now, Tony Khan seems to think that professional wrestlers are Pokemon, and you have to collect them all. And once you collect them all, I don't know what you intend to do with them. I would have much preferred if AEW said, we are selectively going to sign people we think are going to help us, yes, with the ratings because of their name, but also to help us get over young talent. Because primarily that's our goal. Our goal is not to present you with disgruntled former WWE workers. Our goal, and prove that we can use them better than WWE. Well, no shit. Anybody could use them better than the WWE. That doesn't prove you're a great company. Send them all to Ring of Honor, they'll be better used. Send them all to Impact, they'll be better used. Send them wherever, they'll be better used. We already know that. That doesn't make you a great company. What makes you a great company is when you build your own talent. When there's someone who just comes out of the woodwork, you know, and you say, wow, okay, they built that person. That's what makes you a great company. That's where the you know, look, you got Sting over there. Who made Sting? Did you make Sting? No. You didn't make Sting. Did you make Jericho? No, you didn't make Jericho. Did you make John Moxley? No, you didn't make John Moxley. Did you make Malachi Black? No, you didn't make Malachi Black. Did you make CM Punk? Did you make Bryan Danielson? No. Did you make The Big Show? No. Did you make Taz? No. So at this stage of the game, while Mick Foley is saying, I don't trust the WWE with creative, what creative has AEW made? Where is their guy? They got MJF. That's about it. And I would argue that he was the same character before he joined. They gave him the microphone, and they gave him ample time, and they gave him good booking to help make him, but they didn't create him. I'm talking about creating someone. I'm talking about when Eric Bischoff looked Steve Austin in the eye and said, you have no personality. You're just sort of a boring personality. I can't get you over because you're just boring. The WWE found a way to turn him into Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was far from boring. When WCW was jerking around with, Triple H as the Blue Blood. Yeah, WWE started that, and they started doing that same thing with him, but they quickly found a way to turn him into Triple H. Who was Mark Calloway? He was one of the Twin Towers. Oh, big deal. Yeah, his career was just skyrocketing to the moon. He was going to be on the face on every lunchbox, right? WWE turned him into The Undertaker. So until AEW does that, until AEW says, yes, we are signing Tommy End. No, we are not going with his Aleister Black character with a different name. We are turning him into a totally different character, which is going to be big, big, big box office. I'm not impressed with their creative either. I'm just not. I'm sorry. What have you created? That's the problem. Now, while it's true, Mick Foley is right when he says more people want to go to AEW. That's because theoretically they think they're going to be used better. But it's not about creative. He's wrong about that. Now, I know that John Moxley said the same thing. Creative ruined it. That's why I didn't like it. Creative ruined it. I got news, John. If you were John Moxley floating around the indies, I'm not 100% sure that AEW would have looked to sign you. And if they did, they sure as hell wouldn't have made you champion. They made you the champion and they gave you the top spot because you were Dean Ambrose. And you had a high-profile name. Even if you didn't use it, people knew who you were. And you were a very high-profile performer thanks to the WWE. So you have to remember that. So while Mick is right, I think that most indie guys, if you said you could go anywhere you wanted, would say AEW. It's not necessarily because of creative. It's because they think their booking would be better. I'll be able to do longer matches. They'll use me more correctly. They'll let me do what I do without handcuffing me. Those are the things. Not so much what name they call you or what outfit they make you wear or the character they make you portray. I don't think that that's the main factor. If Karrion Kross had to come in, tore the head off Jeff Hardy, beat the hell out of everybody he came in contact with, seemed like he was invincible, and he's wearing that same goofy outfit. We could still say it's a goofy outfit, but you'd say, yeah, well, but man, he's going to be a force, right? There's a lot of goofy outfits that people wear. It doesn't mean anything. Not if you book them right. So, Mike, I'm not 100% sure Mick is right about the creative part of it so much as he's right about the booking part of it, because that's what I think would drive younger wrestlers to want to go to AEW as opposed to WWE.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it this way. What was Kevin Nash before WWE? He was in the WCW. He was Master Blaster Steel. All right?
Right.
Couldn't get over. He was in that table with this guy named Al Green. Couldn't get over. And then he goes over to the WWF at the time, and what happens? They give him the Big Daddy Cool. They give him the diesel thing, and he took it and ran with it, right?
Right. I mean, listen, he was the Mighty Oz or something, right? And then he was Vinny Vegas and and Scott Hall was the Diamond Stud. And there were some horrible angles. Horrible. It's not that Karrion Kross's creative is bad. I get what you're trying to make him. The outfit is not good. And his booking was ludicrous and self-destructive. That's what the WWE has to fix. That's exactly what they have to fix. The very first thing you throw out the window and you throw it out to stay is 50-50 booking. That's got to go. Because if you think 50-50 booking just means, well, the fans really won't know who's going to win, that's not true. Because situationally, we'll know. In other words, we say, well, this guy's 50-50, but given the storyline and the current way things are going, this guy's going to win. So that doesn't work. If you think that 50-50 just means we'll be, confused about who's going to win, forget it. That doesn't work. So what you need to do is you need to find your top-level guys and say this, and this guy. These are the guys we're running with. These are the guys that don't lose much. These are the guys who are pretty much untouchable. Whether I like them or Mike likes them or Todd likes them or anybody else likes them, these are the guys that we're going with. I can accept that. But you cannot in one breath say, who is going to stop Karrion Kross when he got stopped in his debut match by a guy who's now chasing the 24/7 title? He will never overcome that. I don't care if you put the belt around his waist. Fans are not going to buy him as this indestructible whatever because he's already, you've already given away what fans will want to see, which is him lose. He's already beatable. You've already shown he's beatable. It would have been no different than introducing The Undertaker and having him wrapped up in his first match. No difference than introducing Kane and having him wrapped up in his first match. But you didn't do that, right? No different than almost losing his first match. That's the problem with WWE. So when Mick Foley says, I don't trust him with creative, I don't know. The WWE's creative is not bad. Bray Wyatt was a great character. The Fiend is a great character. Aleister Black was a great character. There's a lot of guys. The Roman Reigns thing is a great storyline and great characters. There's a lot of great characters. It's the booking that's killing you. And when you can honestly say, we called in Adam Cole and told him the following. This was their pitch to keep Adam Cole. We're going to send you to SmackDown. We're going to make you a manager. We're going to change your name because you'll be confused with Michael Cole. You're going to be the manager of a heel Keith Lee. And you expected Adam Cole to stay? Now, that is creative. But I'm going to tell you something that probably Mick Foley won't believe. That was WWE's way of saying, we don't want you. we're going to make a play for you so that it can't be said we didn't. But we know you're going to turn it down. Because any idiot would have known that Adam Cole is not about to take that job. That's the equivalent of saying we're going to try to sign a free agent to a baseball team, a starting pitcher. And our pitch for him is, well, you won't be our starting pitcher. We're going to use you situationally in the bullpen, but mostly you'll be a pitching coach. That guy's going to say, well, what the hell are you talking about? I'm in the prime of my career. I'm not going to be a pitching. I don't want to be a pitching coach. I want to be a pitcher. And I'm a starting pitcher. I don't want to be once in a while in relief and then the rest of the time a pitching coach. And then that team saying, well, we tried hard to sign him, fans. He didn't want to sign with us. That's called we never wanted to sign you to begin with. But we wanted to make it look like we made an effort. That's what I believe happened with Adam Cole, Todd.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, what the creative is pretty good in the WWE, but the booking was just terrible. There's a lot of great gimmicks out there.
Yeah, the gimmicks is not necessarily bad. I mean, some of them are. Some of them are. But a lot of them aren't. A lot of them could have went places, too. We don't know for sure how many got cut off at the knees. I thought the Rey Mysterio thing with Buddy Murphy and everything, I thought it was a great gimmick. I was kind of interested in where the Sami Zayn conspiracy theory thing was going. That was cut off at the knees. I thought that was a pretty good gimmick. There are things there that work, but the WWE doesn't allow them to work due to their horrible booking. So I'm not blaming creative for this. And here's why, Mick Foley, I'm not blaming creative for this. If we didn't know anything about The Undertaker, nothing, zero, and it was pitched at a meeting, I got an idea. How about a guy, and we'll call him The Undertaker, and he's going to have a manager who holds up an urn, and he's invincible, and he pops up, and he's like a dead man. He's like a zombie, and he'll walk around the ring very stiff, and when you hit him, he just pops up, and people would be like, that's freaking stupid. That'll never work. That's what they'd say. That's what they'd say. So you have to understand that sometimes it's not even about the gimmick. Sometimes you can overcome the gimmick. Look at Goldust. Goldust had a punishment gimmick. That was a punishment gimmick, and I know it was a punishment gimmick because he told me so. So that's not coming out of third party. That's coming out of his mouth at a convention. And he told me the following. You can either make the best of it and have fun with it, or you can hate every minute of it and just collect your paycheck. I decided to have fun with it and run with it and see if I can have a good time. But it was a punishment gimmick. It's legendary. It's a legendary gimmick. So I'm sorry to tell you that I don't think it's the creative necessarily. But it is this ridiculous booking. You got a man who beat Brock Lesnar getting rolled up 2 weeks in a row by lesser talent. Okay, I know the draft is coming on October 1st and you're going to send him to SmackDown. It doesn't matter. So what are you doing? You're undervaluing him before you send him to SmackDown? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Now, AEW this week drew a 139. That's getting very, 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 very close to Raw. Now, yes, it came off the back of a pay-per-view where Adam Cole was introduced and Bryan Danielson was introduced and Ruby Soho was introduced. Gotcha. Probably going to go down a little this week. But it shows you that the interest is there. And the WWE's philosophy of they're not competition, that is not true. That is not true. Now, the deal is, the WWE sort of reminds me of a diner. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. But how many people go to a diner and say, I'll have the spaghetti, when there's an Italian restaurant across the street? Not too many. And I'll tell you why they don't, because they know the spaghetti will be better at the Italian restaurant across the street. So if you're going into that diner, you're probably not ordering the spaghetti. Well, that's what AEW and WWE are. AEW, for the most part, they have a couple of different styles, I know. But for the most part, AEW presents one solid, more indie feel product. And the WWE wants to go with more entertainment-based product, more glitz and interviews and gimmicks. Then run with it. If you're that restaurant, you say, take all the Italian stuff basically off the menu. They've already got that market sewed up across the street. We're just wasting time. Put more stuff on that they don't sell. And we'll get people into our restaurant for that. Well, that's what you need to do, WWE. You need to double down on the things that AEW doesn't do. You want to have the larger-than-life gimmicks. You want to have the sensational storylines. You want to have the crazy stuff. Do it, then. Make your own niche. Because you trying to outdo them at their own game, you're not doing it. Because by the very nature of the WWE, they don't want to do things that way. Kenny Omega could fight Bryan Danielson on Raw. It's not going to be the same as it when they fight in AEW. They're the same people. Why isn't it the same? I'll tell you why it's not the same. Because the WWE style and the way they do things is completely different. And more wrestling fans are interested in those type of wrestlers doing what they do in AEW. But you'll notice that the wrestlers who relied heavily on gimmick, Matt Hardy, Jake Hager, some of those guys, they're not really doing anything major in AEW. Because AEW is not that heavily gimmick-oriented. That's why I don't think Bray Wyatt would do well over there. I don't think his style of wrestling in the ring suits AEW. And I just don't think it's a good gel. He was definitely a WWE animal, and maybe Impact he could do. They're going to have to change a lot if they want Bray Wyatt to be successful in AEW, in my opinion. There's no character like The Fiend over in AEW, and if there was, I'm not sure fans would be that receptive to it. That's not what they're looking for there. So you got to pick the style of wrestlers. There's no point of you having wrestlers that you're not going to use that wrestle in an indie style that's more suited to AEW, just like there's no reason for AEW to have wrestlers. Nobody's going crazy that the Big Show's over there. Nobody's going crazy. He doesn't fit. He's there just for his name. He's not going to do a match that anybody cares about. And he probably would have been better suited to stay in the WWE. But not a guy like Aleister Black. And probably not a guy like Bryan Danielson. So the WWE's got to make use of what they want, Mike. And they've got to serve the style of food, so to speak, that they do best. And let AEW have what they do.
Right. And do that. And look, as far as the gimmicks go, you know, I'm starting to believe the reason why Cody Rhodes hated the Stardust gimmick is because he could see the writing on the wall that gimmick wasn't going to be booked particularly well, and it was going to go no place. If it was going to be booked very if it was going to be booked better than it was going to be booked, and he could see some place where it was going to go, he might have liked it better. I mean, yeah, it's an imitation of the Goldust gimmick. I get that. But because it's an imitation of that gimmick doesn't mean that it could have been something special on its own if it was booked correctly. If it was going to be booked correctly and if the wrestler who was doing it could see the light at the end of the tunnel, which obviously Cody couldn't.
Right. Well, the thing about Cody was he wasn't going to do much. The Stardust thing was what they got for him, and that was it. Now, Derek is saying, you know, they let MJF use the abortion line. Yeah, they did. I just, again, let's see how many people complain. You know, you can get away with it once or whatever. I still think Tony Khan is overly concerned about his image. And I wish that he wasn't. I think that if Tony Khan had the mentality of a Ted Turner, WWE would be finished. They'd be finished. But now it's getting silly because it's getting to the point where it's like, oh, well, Kevin Owens' contract is up in a few months, and we already know he's not happy. If you can't see in Kevin Owens' performances that he's just mailing it in and he's not happy, then I don't know, because it comes right through the TV set. He's probably gone. So he's going to go over to AEW and say, okay, I'm a big deal, right? Well, not really, because we got CM Punk here, and we got Bryan Danielson here, and we got Malachi Black here, and we've got the Chris Jericho, and we've got this guy and that guy we got to get in. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll get you in. See, Andrade's finding that out. Andrade thought, I'm going to go over there and be a big star, and all of a sudden he's like, I don't like it here. Now he's starting to get antsy. This is not what I was promised. I was promised I'm going to be a big deal. Aleister Black didn't even make the pay-per-view. So a lot of these people are going to say, wait a minute, I thought I was a big deal, and now all of a sudden you're getting guys like, you know, in their 40s, late 40s, and they're going to be the main event guys. Christian Cage is going to be the main event guy. He's in his late 40s. CM Punk in his late 40s is going to be a main event guy. Bryan Danielson is going to be a main event guy. Chris Jericho is going to be a main event guy. These are guys in their 40s and 50s. Where's my spot? I don't know what to tell you. This is what I warned all AEW fans. It's so funny because the minute one wrestler's contract is up, they're like, oh, let's hope he goes to AEW. No, you might not want to hope that. You might not want to hope that because you might not see him much. They're going to have to straighten this out. Tony Khan's went a little spend crazy. Tony Khan's got that, what's the right word for it? He's got that mentality of, oh boy, I'm a kid in a toy store with an unlimited bank account. I want all the toys. I want this toy and that toy and this toy and that toy. Well, you can only play with so many of them. And some of those toys are going to get left unplayed with. Now let me give you the other big scoop. And I'm not going to tell you that this is every wrestler because it isn't. But a good amount of wrestlers, if you told them, we are going to use you on a semi-weekly basis in AEW during 15-minute matches where you can show your talent and you can apply all of your knowledge and show the fans what you've got, and we're going to pay you $500,000 a year to do that, $600,000 a year to do that. And Vince McMahon says, I'm going to dress you up in a bunny suit and have you hop to the ring and give people Easter eggs and smash them over people's heads while you hop on their back, and we're going to call yourself Super Bunny, and I'm giving you $2 million, and they're going to do that. Because money is a very powerful thing. And at the end of the day, a lot of these people say, look, it's entertainment anyway. If I can make $2 million doing stupid stuff, why bust my ass? That's what Shinsuke Nakamura said, right? Remember all those people who said, Shinsuke will never be happy. in WWE, especially the way he's being used. He's a legend, and he's being used as a mid-carder and used sparingly. And Shinsuke's miserable. Remember when all the sheets were saying Shinsuke Nakamura is miserable in WWE and cannot wait for his contract to run out? Shinsuke Nakamura said, I don't know where you're getting that from. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life, and I'm working less. And that is pretty much a good thing as far as I'm concerned. So if I can work less, hurt my body less, not have to worry about aches and pains and 25-minute matches, excuse me, and I'm making twice as much as I ever made, what's the problem? There are a lot of wrestlers with that mentality, Mike, and I can't fault them for it.
I can't fault them for it either, and that's the thing. And look, they're getting more out of Shinsuke Nakamura for him doing less, because actually what he's doing is, through him, they're getting this guy. Yeah, Rick Boogs is not doing very much, but thanks to Shinsuke Nakamura, he's gotten him over, you know?
Yeah. Look, again, there are wrestlers who say no, 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 especially the younger ones. The younger ones want people, they say, look, I didn't bust my ass in wrestling training and everything to be a bunny and hop down to the ring. Gotcha. But then there comes a point where you say, look, I'm on my third knee surgery. I hurt constantly. I'm going to be crippled by the time I'm 50 if I keep this up. And there's a federation that's going to give me a whole bunch of money to do very little. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So when, I think Mick Foley is right when he says the younger wrestlers. Ask AJ Styles if he wants to go to AEW. You think AJ Styles didn't get a fat offer? They probably told him you can do whatever you want. You can wrestle whenever you want. And we'll give you just about as much money, if not more, than the WWE's giving you. And he said, you know what? The style over there would be a little bit more taxing on me. I think I'm just going to ride this out for now and see what happens. Why not? Why not? Now, if you're a Buddy Murphy, I understand. You're not making big money in the WWE anyway, and you're sure as hell not getting anybody else to look at you that is going to say, I'll give him big money. So you need to get featured somewhere. You need to get your brand in front of the eyes of people who maybe someone will say, hey, look at that guy. Ain't going to be WWE. So that's where the difference is. The younger wrestlers, yeah, I can see them maybe wanting to go to AEW and use their skills and get their make their brand. But once it is made, then we'll see what happens. Then we'll see what happens. Because at some point, you're going to get to that point where you say to yourself, okay, I did everything I can do. I have nothing left to prove. Now it's about making money. The Big Show knew when he went over there, he's not going to get top flight matches. He's not even going to get much airtime. He's not going to get a lot of ring time. He didn't want it. He's just like, who's going to give me the most money for sitting on my ass mostly? And that happened to be AEW. Same way with Mark Henry. I think I got one more match in me, but if I don't, AEW is still going to give me a suitcase full of money. Where the WWE said, I'm not going to give you a suitcase full of money. We got nothing for you. So I think what the WWE needs to do is they need to have an internal meeting where they say, this is the direction this company is going. I don't care what it is. I don't care if they say we're going to go Lucha style. Fine. Then fire everybody that's not Lucha style. Get them out of the way and go that direction. Whatever style you want to do, figure it out. But don't try to be a jack of all trades. It's okay to mix it up a little. Have a couple high flyers and a couple of brawlers. I get that. But you need to have a basic plan and say, look, our basic plan is entertainment. we're not going to do 25-minute matches that look extraordinarily real and feel extraordinarily real, like Walther versus Dragunov in NXT. That's NXT's baby. Maybe we'll do that down there, but in WWE, Raw and SmackDown, that's not what we're about. We're going to do more entertaining style matches, shorter, with storylines. Okay, then you got to find those type of wrestlers. And you got to decide which ones you're pushing and which ones you're not. Can't be the spaghetti dinner at the Greasy Spoon Diner with the Italian restaurant right next door. Right now, AEW is that Italian restaurant. Right now, AEW is serving up that kind of wrestling. And you're not going to outdo them with NXT because you've already proven you're not going to. You couldn't beat them in the ratings. So your style, Triple H's style of NXT, was not outdoing AEW's more indie style. It just wasn't. So rather than to you say, well, I don't know, we're still going to try it. No, do something different. Do something different. Let me give you a little example of how business is run. In my town, we have one, it ain't even a supermarket. It's a pretty big market, but it's not a supermarket. We have one market and a deli. Well, recently, a Dollar General moved in. And I got news. Ain't nobody going down to that deli for $4.99 a gallon milk when you can get it for a dollar cheaper at the Dollar General. And nobody's buying canned food down there when you want $3 for a can of ravioli and they want 99 cents. So this guy had two choices. Go out of business because no one's going to come to you. Or feature the things they don't. So what did the guy do? I'm increasing my deli. There's going to be more salads. There's going to be more hot food. There's going to be more meats and different items, desserts and things like that. I'm going to take out a lot of my canned food and stuff and make room for things they don't sell. Alcoholic beverages. I'll have like a beer cave. I'll have some tables and chairs for people to sit. I'll feature maybe soft serve ice cream, some other things. I'll change so that I'll be what they aren't, because I can't outdo them. That's what the WWE has to do, Mike. They have to change and do the things that AEW cannot or does not want to do, and thus those fans that like that style better will stick with WWE.
Right. You know, and think about it. I mean, look, you had some guys you were developing, and I guess you're going to keep developing Jack Perry. That were younger guys that you were keeping developing, and you were developing, of course, MJF and of course, I think at some point they're going to get back to developing Guevara. You know they should. That's your future. It's not Jericho. It's not Punk. I mean, it's not even. People were making a big deal. Well, Punk's going to be there. So is AJ Lee. Well, AJ Lee has all but said that her neck's not in good shape and she's not really looking to get back into wrestling because she's a writer and all that stuff. You know, now, could she come back as a writer for AEW? I don't know. Maybe not. But in her in-ring career is basically over, right?
Yep.
So then there's that. But, yeah, you're right. You know, they need to stick. They basically got the high-end Italian restaurant thing in the field good, you know. They don't need any more big names for that, you know. Now, to get eyes on the product, yeah, maybe you do need them. But they don't need any more big names. And really, guys, at one point, we were talking about Bray Wyatt going there and stuff like that. And of course, they had his the late Luke Harper there. And we were talking about Bray Wyatt and And Rowan and recently with a big man there, you know, I'm blanking on his name.
Braun Strowman.
Rowan. Yeah. And so we were talking about them, and so okay. But they probably wouldn't fit in the AEW either. And also, I don't want to see them, even though you look at Walter, even though he's the type of guy that he's a bigger guy, he's the type of guy that the WWE, that Vince might look at, I don't want to see him up there, up at the WWE, because I fear they're not going to use him correctly.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a good point. You have to figure the guys that you're going to use and what they're best suited for. Now, if Braun Strowman was to go over to AEW, he's a name. I get it. Is he going to light it up with matches? No, he's not. So fans of AEW style are going to say, I don't like that. I don't like that Braun Strowman is throwing Sammy Guevara around. I like Sammy Guevara. Okay, you see, that's the thing. That's the weakness. Most AEW fans do not like that style of wrestling. And most AEW fans also don't really like the hardcore stuff that much, because every time that Jon Moxley does it, there's nothing but complaints. We don't like that. Somebody's going to get hurt. We don't care for that. All right, well, then WWE needs to light it up. WWE needs to come out and say, we're going to do a more methodical style. We're going to do a harder core style. We're going to do a little more brawling style, and leave the indie stuff to the people who like it. That's all. I mean, look, if you're opening up for a band, you don't do a cover of one of their songs. That would be suicide. Well, that's what the WWE can't say. We're going to try to imitate some of the AEW style. No, they've got that cornered. AEW's carved their niche, and now you're going to have to go around that niche. Now, the other night, couldn't sleep, and I'm putting on YouTube, and I found WWF wrestling. And I watched Superstar Billy Graham fight Dusty Rhodes. And it was slow. It was methodical. It wasn't complicated. It had no flashy intros. The production was, you know, minor league at that time. And it was so damn entertaining that I said, I would rather watch this than guys do flips and dives and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot more psychology. Fans were eating it up. There were fans ready to climb the barricade. And today's fans, if you turned the sound down, would have said, that match is boring. They're not doing much. They had the crowd eating out of the palm of their hand. They were fans ready to riot. WWE could do that. I'm not suggesting go back to that methodical style. That's probably gone for good. But WWE could do a more focused, different style of wrestling and not worry about what AEW is doing. Don't worry about the 25-minute Kenny Omega matches. Let them have that then. That's their niche. Let them have it. You have your niche. And certain percentage of fans is going to like that niche. There's no, that I know of, there's not going to be any 14, 13-year-old kid searching around for back to school to try to find a Kenny Omega lunchbox. Boy, there sure were Hulk Hogan, right? Man, Hulk Hogan, that was it. That's all you saw when you went to school. Hulk Hogan this, Hulk Hogan that, Hulk Hogan this, Randy Macho Man Savage this, Roddy Piper this. And later on, it was DX, DX this, DX that. Were they the greatest wrestlers in the world? How come they captured so much imagination of fans? I'm sorry to tell you, You compare WWE right now to AEW, and most wrestling fans are going to say, I prefer AEW. But if you could go into a time capsule and you could put the Attitude Era with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and DX and The Undertaker and all those people, people would look at AEW and be like, what the hell is that? I mean, it's okay, but I want to see the major leagues. I want to see the Stone Cold. I want to see The Undertaker. That's what they would say. So that's what the WWE's got to concentrate on. Make stars. You are better at that than anyone in the world. And I got a newsflash for you. You got a guy there who's better at it than most anybody in the world, and his name is Paul Heyman. And Todd, they could utilize that, and I think that the WWE could make a big star out of a guy who's just an average wrestler.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they could make something out of an average wrestler there, and you know, but they won't. They just want to be lazy on making a big superstar out of an average pro wrestler.
See, where Mick Foley is right is that somewhere, somehow, people cut each other off at the knees. You had Bray Wyatt running, and then somebody had to come up with, he's got to lose, and he's got to keep losing. Why? You killed it. Rusev was running on full cylinders, cut the knees out from under him. Why? Elias had people chanting, walk with Elias. You cut the knees out from under him. Why? That would be like Stone Cold Steve Austin is taking off, and you say, forget it, cut the knees off of Stone Cold. He's losing the preliminary wrestlers. We don't need that. What do you mean? That's not what you did. Stone Cold Steve Austin came in as a ringmaster. It sucked. You got him into the Stone Cold thing. He was a heel. When you realized 90% of the audience was cheering for him, you said, run with it. And look what happened. You couldn't do that with Rusev. You couldn't do that with Elias. You couldn't do that with Bray Wyatt. Why? That's the problem. And Mick Foley's mistakenly saying it's creative, but it's really not creative. Creative is responsible for your character. The WWE has the good characters. They don't have good booking. Do you honestly think that if I had the Bray Wyatt in my federation, and he came up with this fiend thing that's so good, I'd have him dropping any matches? He wouldn't be dropping matches for a long, long time, and when he did, it would be, boy, it would be a rare occasion, and that would be something that fans would say, oh my God, did you see? Because that's the way it has to be. If you can't see that, now Elias would be different. You could have Elias drop matches, but I got news for you. He wouldn't drop a ton, and I would have ran with him being that guy who made up crazy songs about heels and got the whole audience involved and came out and said, come on, guys, you know, you're all my fans. You're here to see my concert. I'm going to play a little song for you. Audience participation. Audience loves that. I would have ran with that. My God, they loved Rusev. You were selling calendars that every day was marked Rusev Day. That cost you like 4 cents to make. I would have run with that. You had potentially the new Randy Savage Elizabeth couple in Rusev and Lana, and what did you do? You made her a cheater and a wretch and it's almost like they did it on purpose.
You know, we talk about, yeah, it's almost like they did do it on purpose, and we've talked about, you know, booking and writing and stuff like that, and well, remember when they were going to take Paul Heyman and put him in charge and also Bischoff as well, but more Paul Heyman than Bischoff, and we talked about this, and all of us on this panel had said at the time that could be gold if they put Paul Heyman in charge of the booking and writing and stuff. And you know, have Vince just run his business and have Paul run the booking and the writing, right?
Right.
And well, what happened with that? You know, what happened with that was after a couple of weeks, well, we're going to keep you on, but we're going to take this power away from you. We're going to basically fire you from this job. And right now, look, what's the best thing that's happened? One of the best things that's happening in WWE right now, and I guarantee you, Paul is having a lot to do with this whole Roman Reigns thing. Probably not, maybe not booking it, but maybe writing a lot of it, you know.
Right.
I guarantee
you. Yeah, look, Mike, I'm guaranteeing you that Paul Heyman probably said, well, if you want the future of this company to be like faster, more athletic guys, yeah, I'm all behind Aleister Black. I'm all behind Sheldon Benjamin and those guys. But if you told them, no, Paul, I don't think that's the future of the company. We're going in a direction of larger guys and more gimmicky matches and things. He would have ran with that, too, and said, okay, well, then we'll promote these guys. Paul Heyman knows what he's doing. Paul Heyman used to take a lot of – see, here's the difference. Tony Khan takes WWE guys and doesn't change a thing. Paul Heyman would take WWE guys and make them something different. Totally different than they were. And that's why it was successful. He reinvented them. Tony Khan's not reinventing anybody. He's just taking what the WWE invented. So that's why I don't think it's creative. It's booking. There's no reinvention process going on. What's the difference between Aleister Black and Malakai Black? Not a lot. So that's what I mean. So what are we going to see tonight? Well, we're going to see Finn Balor against Roman Reigns. Look, this is part of the problem, isn't it? The WWE just doesn't understand. They think this is a big match. It's not a big match. It's not a big match. Nobody believes Finn Balor is going to win. Nobody does. And if he comes out with a demon gimmick, he's still not going to win. He's not going to win. So he's just a cog in the wheel because we're probably going to see Brock Lesnar show up. I think the WWE tries too hard to say, how do we win over those AEW fans? You're not going to. You know how you win over AEW fans? You win them over by being so totally different than AEW that the AEW fan says, well, I get my fix of this kind of wrestling when I watch AEW. Then I like this kind of wrestling too, so I watch WWE. I used to do that with ECW. I never deluded myself that anybody in ECW was a better wrestler than Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and all those people. Of course they weren't. But it was a totally different style that the WWE didn't do. So I'm like, okay, well, now I get to see my hardcore style and maybe the harder core lucha style and that kind of stuff. Then I'll go over to the entertainment-based stuff. So it was totally different. It's like eating a pizza from a pizzeria and eating a frozen pizza. You may like the frozen pizza and say, I feel like that tonight. And you may like the pizzeria pizza and say, well, I feel like this style tonight. But they're not the same, even though it's the same name, pizza. You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look. I mean, you got a Pizza Hut and you got a local guy that does his own thing, right?
Right.
And it's two different styles of pizza. You
exactly.
know, and that's what we get. I mean, and look, sticking with the pizza, you know, you got a pizza pie. What do you do with a pizza? You cut it, right? And you cut the pieces. There's enough pieces of pizza for everybody, all right? There just is, all right? So, you know, you get that, and you get that with the higher-end pizza, with the higher-end indie pizza with AEW, and you get your normal Pizza Hut, Domino's.
Yeah.
CC,
well, that's just it. And, you know, if you put too many toppings on, if you say I'm going to put 19 different toppings on, there's always going to be somebody who says, well, I don't like one of those, so I guess I can't eat that pizza. See, that's the problem. Just go with your basic philosophy of what you think it should be. AEW has carved their niche. You're not beating them at it. I don't care how long you've been in business. You're not beating them at it. Tomorrow you could change your format and say we're only doing four matches in a three-hour program and they're all going to be 25-minute matches. You're still not going to beat them. You need to do you. It's as simple as that. AC/DC doesn't come out on stage and try to be KISS. And KISS doesn't come out on stage and try to be AC/DC. You got to do your own thing. And some people are going to like this better, and some people are going to like that better. But there are going to be a lot of fans who say, well, it's not the same. I like them both because they're totally different bands. Well, that's what I'd like to see WWE do. I'd like to see them move so far in a different direction that you say, well, AEW is this, and they're the tops at this. But WWE does a totally different thing that's not even reasonably close to this, and they're not even trying to do anything like that, so I like this too. You may love ice cream. Always going to order vanilla. At some point, you're going to order different flavors, right? Everybody loves ice cream, loves two or three flavors, if not more. There's room for it all. But if the vanilla tries to be chocolate, it doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy anybody. And that's what the WWE is trying to do. Let me try to satisfy the AEW fans. At the same time, keep the WWE fans. And you can't. So Mick Foley, I think, is right when it comes to that a lot of indie wrestlers are looking to AEW as, man, if I could get there, that would be better than the WWE. And that didn't used to be the case. He's right about that. He's wrong to blame creative. It's the booking. It's the horrible, horrendous, ridiculous booking that destroys good creative. If you don't think that Bray Wyatt was one of the most creative things that WWE's ever done, man, I'll tell you. When I first saw him walk out there with that sweater vest and everything, I said, they have killed Bray Wyatt. They have destroyed this character. I can't believe what they're doing. By the end of the segment, I said, holy crap, this is going somewhere. This is interesting. And every time I watched every little detail. What's on the wall behind him? What is he picking up? What is exactly is he saying? That was very creative. Creative didn't kill Bray Wyatt. Booking killed Bray Wyatt. So, Todd, I think it's the booking of the WWE, not necessarily creative.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, the booking has always been terrible lately. But the creative part has been great. You know, it's just half of it's good and half of it's bad.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, let's face it. Booking is what killed Karrion Kross. If he does end up being destroyed, it's not the gimmick necessarily or even the dumb outfit.
No. You know, and creative didn't kill Ruby Riott.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And it was the booking. I mean, look, you could have had when the authority and stuff were going strong and you were just bringing her up with the Riot Squad, you could have had something with her feuding with Stephanie, right?
Yes.
She could have been the Stone Cold to Stephanie's Vince, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. One more thing we wanted to get to as well. Bryan Danielson obviously can't use the Final Countdown, and a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, Tony Khan didn't have the money to spend. No, the song cost so much money for them to use that Tony Khan just said, you got to be kidding. I don't know if you know this, but whoever owns the publishing rights, you know, they can charge whatever they want. I think it's $1 million or $2 million to use Happy Birthday. Somebody actually owns the rights to Happy Birthday. And if you want to use that in a TV show or something, you got to pay them $2 million. That's why you never hear people sing Happy Birthday anymore on TV shows, because they're like, we're not paying that. That's outrageous. So don't blame the band. Don't blame Europe, because the chances are they probably don't own the publishing rights. The chances are their record company does, and they've set a price that's outrageous. And they just, or if Europe does own it, then they've set a price that's outrageous. I don't know who owns the publishing rights to that song. I'm assuming the record company. And Tony Khan said, we're not paying it. Now, on a better note, apparently Rancid owns the right to their song. And they contacted Ruby Riott. And not only did they say, it's okay for you to use it, they said, we would like you to use it. Now, Europe's record company probably don't care because that song is so old that they've made all the money in the world off it. They don't give a damn. And so is Ruby Soho from Rancid. But Rancid figures we may get a resurgence. Europe don't need a resurgence. They're all 60. You know, Rancid may get a resurgence out of this. Maybe they'll get a gig playing in AEW or something, you know, during a live performance. You never know. It's a good idea. Sometimes record companies can be too greedy. So, Mike, there's apples and oranges. One company says we want the world on a silver platter for you to use our song, and the other person says, hey, man, use it. It's only going to help us.
And think about this. Since he can't use that song, what song did he end up using?
Yeah, they did a little bit of a remix of it. Yeah, a little bit of a remix, but yep.
The Ride of the Valkyries, which apparently, you know, they can't say anything about it because apparently that song, which is actually a symphony, but actually that song is probably in the public domain. So
yeah.
It's like, what can the WWE do about it, right?
Nothing. He was nice to do a little bit of a remix because they might own copyright to the way they did it. If they had their own musicians do it, the WWE, they might own that. So he just remixed it and had a different, you know, take of it. But yeah, I think you're right. The song itself is probably public domain, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, I mean, I haven't heard it, but as he was coming out, as he came out the first two times he come out, what were they doing? What were the fans doing?
Yep.
And
exactly.
I haven't heard that the WWE is going to sue them over that.
They can't.
That's their thing.
They can't. They can't control what the fans do. See, that's the thing. If fans wanted to chant Rusev Day at Miro, there's not a thing the WWE can do. You can't control what a fan cheers. It has nothing to do with AEW. It has nothing to do with any company. You can't control it. So they can chant yes all they want. Now, if he does it, if he starts to do the finger-pointing thing too much, the WWE might say something. They may not even. Because I think WWE has this weird philosophy that once Bryan Danielson gets this out of his system, which will be a year, and kind of he's even said that. He said, well, I want to go to New Japan. I want to do other things. But right now, I'll concentrate on AEW for now. So he didn't sign any long-term contract or anything. And he's just saying this is just for now. So I think he wants to get all of the wrestling out of his system. And then, much like Chris Jericho, I still predict this. When Chris Jericho's contract is up completely, I predict he's going back to WWE. Him and Vince still have a decent relationship. And Jericho probably figures, look, I'll get a lifetime deal with him. I will get a Legends contract, and until I'm 75 years old, my ass will be paid. I truly believe that that's probably going to happen. That'll probably happen with Bryan Danielson, too. It'll probably happen with a lot of them. Because they figure the WWE, they'll feed me until I'm, you know, in a rocking chair somewhere. I don't know if Tony Khan's going to do that. I don't care how much unlimited money you have. His payroll has got to be huge at this point. It's got to be huge. Just with Jericho and CM Punk alone, it's got to be huge. And with them not really being able to do any touring and only relying on the television station's money, I don't know how much profit they're turning. So, Mike, that's going to be a factor, too, going forward.
It really is. And think about it. I mean, I don't. We talked about Bryan Danielson not being a long-term deal. I don't really know if CM Punk is going to be a long-term deal either. You know?
I don't either.
So you're spending for now, but after the contract's up and, you know, you've cooled on CM Punk, and you're going to go back. And at some point, they're going to go back to a point where these guys are going to have to put over the younger guys, you know. And we know about CM Punk's ego. Probably won't allow him to do that. So what's going to happen at that point, you know?
Yeah, I think they're hoping that that's going to be like a temporary push in the right direction. In other words, they're going to get more eyes on the product. I think what they're hoping is people are saying, CM Punk's back, Bryan Danielson's over there. I got to watch. And then they say, oh, I like this MJF guy. Oh, I like this other person. I like that other person. And by the time CM Punk and Bryan Danielson aren't there anymore, you're already an AEW fan and you're staying. That's what I think they hope. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Because after a while, these big debuts, they're going to run out of that. They're pretty close to running out of it now. There's no more bigger name they could sign, really. So they've already blown their load that way. Now they've got to concentrate on the mixture between giving the fans those big names that keep them drawing while they are building up their younger talent so they are eventually going to be those big names. It's easy to say CM Punk's on a lunchbox with an AEW logo. Okay, but you didn't create him. I want to see, you know, Sammy Guevara on a friggin' lunchbox. Then you created him. Because he wasn't going on any lunchbox before. That's what I want to see AEW do. That's the one thing I have yet to see AEW do. I have not seen them actually create someone who you say that is a legitimate superstar now, and he wasn't before. Now, people are going to say MJF. I love MJF. He's not a superstar yet. He's just not. He's just not. Not the one I'm talking about. You know, you show MJF to a crowd of people. Who is this guy? They're going to be like, I don't know. Insurance salesman? I don't know. School teacher? I don't know. You know, you show Hulk Hogan. Everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is, right? Even today, if you showed, like, I don't know, Roman Reigns, 90% of people know who Roman Reigns is. They're not going to know necessarily who MJF is. So he's not reached that yet. Just hasn't. Could he? Yeah. He has all the tools to do it, and he probably will. Because this is a guy who has a unlimited future, because not only can he get it done in the ring, but can you imagine when he gets a little older, or if, God forbid, he got hurt, he could be a manager. With the way he can talk, the sky's the limit. He's going to be in this business a long, 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 long time. But until AEW can make him a household name, front and center guy, walk into Walmart and there's a shirt. It's not the same, Mike. It's not the same type of a superstar, and that's what AEW has yet to do.
You know, there's a reason why at 70 years old you can still have Ric Flair doing commercials.
Yes. Good point.
Because, you know, you can have him doing commercials because people still know, and he's still fresh enough in their minds, and people know who he is. You know, can MJF,
yep.
Can Orange Cassidy, can,
no.
Can Sam, not right now, not right now.
Right.
Not right now, but, and Sammy Guevara, not right now. Maybe Jack Perry because, well, his dad was Luke Perry and everybody knows the Perry name, right? You know, so maybe him right now, but he's still young. He's still very young. Okay, in this business. And
you're still not going to walk into Walmart and find his T-shirt.
Right. Those are the guys those are your future guys. MJF, Orange Cassidy, Jack Perry, Sammy Guevara. Those are your future guys. Those are your guys for the future of your business, you know. And so in the future, yeah, those four guys are going to be there. And look, I've said this about Orange Cassidy. He's the right guy with the right gimmick at the right time. All right.
He is. He's got to calm down a little bit, though. I just seen him doing an autograph signing session once. $50 for an autograph. That's outrageous. Jerry Lawler doesn't do that, and he's a legend. So he's got to calm down. But I'll tell you what. Let's take this example. Three initials. Go to anybody on the street and say, MJF, what is that? Do you know what that is? 90% of the people are going to say, no, I don't. Wrestling fans might, but 90% of the people are going to say, no, MJF, no, what is that? Now say Triple H. Triple H, you know what Triple H is? 90% of the people are going to say he's a wrestler, right? That's what I'm talking about, Todd, when I say the difference in superstar and a real, honest-to-God household name superstar.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when they say, you ask that person, you know, who MJF, you know who that is? They probably say, no, we don't know who he is.
Now, speaking of Triple H, he apparently underwent surgery for a heart issue. They say it's a genetic heart issue. And he's fine, and they said he's expected to make a full recovery, but that's pretty shocking. That's pretty shocking. This is a guy, if it was genetic heart issue, there's a man who wrestled then with the genetic heart issue for a long time. A long time. And let's be honest, probably did some steroids and other things that isn't too contributory to heart health, Mike. So I think he's a very fortunate man if he makes a full recovery.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. And think about it. You look at Triple H from the beginning of his career to the time when he became Triple H. His body changed a great – from the time when he was terrorizing in WCW to the time when he became – through the time of Blue Blood to the time when he became Triple H. Look at his body and watch how it changed.
Agreed. Absolutely. So, I mean, we wish him the best, obviously. I hope that it really was just genetic. It wasn't brought on by anything he'd done. And that because Jerry Lawler has said after he had his, surgery, he feels better. He actually feels like he could wrestle better. And his doctor told him, you actually are better off than before this. You were wrestling before the heart attack. You're actually stronger and better now. Your chances of having another one are greatly, greatly, greatly reduced compared to what they were before you actually did. So in some cases, you can wind up better off after the surgery than you were before it. So let's hope that's the case. We'll see what SmackDown brings tonight. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.